Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to PGN Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Hi, I'm Carmen, and I'm back. We had a little bit of a trip up because I didn't set the time right, and so I had to set a new show, so I'm back. I hope you had a great week, and this week was a little bit different. We're going to talk about life, and we're going to talk about death. We're surrounded by this all the time. And this week I noticed there seemed to be a theme going on that kept getting my attention. And well, let me explain. First of all, my brother reminded me that our mother had her 3-year of passing away this week. And so he wanted to get flowers and wanted me to deliver them. So this is not my favorite subject, and so I did. I went to the cemetery to take some flowers from my mother in honor of her memory. It took me, you know, it took me a bit to get there. I didn't really want to go. I was going to put excuses, but I know that my brother wanted me to have that for our mother. And, you know, all these things that we do, we don't do it for the dead, really. We do it because it's healing for the living, those that are alive. And so I know my brother, it made him feel good to do this. And he couldn't escape it because on top of it, the day that my mother passed away was his wedding anniversary. So he ordered some flowers, and I took them to the cemetery. They were fake flowers, of course. And so as I walked to my parents' tomb, which this isn't a place I like going to. I don't like going to – I don't think anybody likes going there. I found a lot of weeds. There were weeds everywhere. And so the grass was overgrown. It was kind of hard to walk over it. So with my hands, I cleaned their tomb out and took the weeds and the grass, and I did the best that I could to clear it out from the old grass and all things like that. And I took a picture and I sent it to my brother so that he could see, you know, the condition that they had it in. So I arranged the flowers that I had because I couldn't keep them there in the pot. They only allow you a vase to put it in there, and I'm like, how am I going to do this? So I took and shaped it and rearranged the flowers and put it in there and made it look pretty and took a picture for my brother. And he was like, thank you, nice. So that made him feel like he had done something for mom. As I looked, I took a few steps back. I started looking at the cement all around the cemetery all around me. And I realized, wow, this is a place where there's nothing but dead bones, people's dead bodies, dead bones. There's no life here. You may make it look pretty from the outside, but there's nothing pretty on the inside of these tombs. Nothing but bones and worms. And right below me were my parents, who were my parents. So as I looked and I pondered at what was going on there at that moment, I wonder what were the stories of each person there that were brought there to lay them to rest. I remember weeks back where on YouTube a person visiting a cemetery took their cell phone and scanned a QR code on the side of the tombstone, and all of a sudden a video or pictures would pop up of those that had passed away there. You would see some people dancing. You would see some people eating. You saw this one lady wiping her husband's beard because he hadn't eaten and the food had gotten into his beard, and they were laughing, just laughing. Things like that they shared. And that QR code, when people scanned that wasn't for the dead. That was for those that were living, memory, remembering them. It's a reflection. The relatives or anyone can go by that cemetery and scan that code and see warm moments from the lives of those buried there. So you can see that. And so, like I said, it's not done for the deceased. It's done for the living. So a lot of these things, the cemetery, I mean, they could do it in a different way, put the box and put it somewhere else, but people need to grieve the loss. And sometimes people think that it's a one-time deal, and grieving isn't just once. It takes a while, and it gets easier, and it gets lighter, and then you become stronger in remembering that person. It's not as hard. I remember when my mother, her mother passed away, she took it really hard. And she didn't realize what was going on. She became very depressed and didn't realize that it was depression. And this is the danger, because the enemy likes to take over when you are grieving. And that's no longer grieving. It's just the enemy trying to oppress you. So I believe that the enemy was doing a number on my mother at that time, but nobody really knew anything because she wouldn't share anything. She wouldn't say anything. And it is important to speak to a pastor or a friend or someone that can tell, that you can tell how you're feeling. And so, you know, I still, after 3 years, I still feel, you know, the loss of my mother, you know, especially when I go to the cemetery where I'm like, I can't see them anymore. It was hard at the beginning. I mean, it's getting lighter. I feel like a divorce is also like that too. It's like a death. And it's like the death of something that you had going on with this one person. And then the longer you've been married to somebody, the harder it is. But it gets easier as time goes by. But the thing with divorce is that you have to see that person again. And it just, like, stirs, you know, the pain again. But it is necessary to allow God to heal us when we need that healing. Because if we don't, we let things fester. The enemy will come in and take advantage of that. And you may think, oh, this is just grieving. No, he'll take advantage of it. He'll put his foot in there and try to make it worse. But grieving is not fun. You go through your ups and downs, and it comes in waves, and then eventually it stops. So it's a good thing to have pictures and things like that, but be real careful, because as you're remembering them and honoring them, you don't want to pull yourself back in there. It's easy to do that. So I looked all over the cemetery, and I wonder what each person's life was all about. Nonetheless, this place was full of dead man's bones. No life. Not even the flowers were alive. There were a lot of fake flowers because you don't want to buy something and then it, you know, it just disintegrates in a few days. You would see a lot of old flowers there. There was no life. When I go there, I go to honor my parents' memory. I don't talk to the grave or to my parents. I don't speak to the dead. The Word of God tells us not to speak to the dead. The Word of God warns us that we're not supposed to do that. We do honor those that have died by keeping their legacy of what they taught us, the good things, not the bad things, the good things that they taught us, and celebrate their life. Amen. And so we have to know and learn how to do that, because a lot of people don't know how to do that, especially in the Hispanic culture. When they celebrate someone's life, there's a lot of crazy crying, and, you know, it's just really out there. I love the way my grandmother was, because she would love going to what they would call the velorios. The velorios were where they would go and meet at the house of the person. They would pray, and they would have cocoa and crackers and cheese and you know, finger foods, and, you know, just talk about the deceased in a happy way. And so my grandmother would always have some funny story to say about their loved ones, and she made it a fun thing. Strange and odd, but she did make it fun. So I remember getting dressed and walking with my grandmother to whoever's house was praying, or, you know, gathering for in the memory of this one person. But this week, death was, I was seeing death in a different light. Our world seems to be obsessed with death. We see a lot of it, the contrast of life and death in movies. Even in our children's movies, we see things that have to do with the dead. And God shows us in his word that we are not to touch these things. We are not to engage with these things. So I was seeing skulls on T-shirts this week, especially now that it's getting closer to Halloween. And so I'm seeing skulls and people wearing skulls. And, you know, some people think that it's like a sign that they're tough and they're, you know, all right, you know, don't mess with me, things like that. Skulls everywhere. And now that we're getting closer to the Halloween season, we're seeing all of that dark stuff appearing. I even saw this week the picture of the hand and the eye that I was talking to you about, the amulet for protection that people use. There's no protection in that. I mean, everywhere. You go to the stores, you see it in the walls, you see it in clothing. At one point, I saw this one lady wearing nothing but eyes. There were eyes everywhere. And I'm like, there we go again, this thing with the eyes. And you know what? There is a connection with the eyes. I know I had an encounter with a spirit, me and a friend of mine, where we were praying, and there was a situation with someone with lust. And as we were praying, my friend, I felt the presence of that spirit there in front of us. And she was praying, and she got to see what it was. She said it was a big eye with the lashes that looked like a snake. Well, those eyes, you know, the spirit of death and the eyes, it also has to do with lust. It entices you in. It's no wonder that these young people are enticed to the witchcraft and all these things. It entices them with lust. It brings them in. It draws them in. It's like, you know, like when a man meets a woman, he's drawn to her. Well, this spirit is seducing, and it has to do, there's something about it that has to do with the eyes. So eyes of the skulls everywhere. So I saw this week a picture of a table set of a little girl's birthday with all her birthday gifts, dolls, toys, and there was a bag with skulls on it, you know, like the cartoons. I think it may have been a cartoon character from some movie in Disney. I'm not sure because I don't watch any of those movies. So I thought, oh, no, the enemy is at work there, making something look so cute and having these parents buy these things for their children and then later on don't realize why their children are having behavioral problems. I've asked you all to pray for a friend of mine. And my friend, Sister Anita, I call her, you know, out of love, Sister Anita. Her name is Anita, and she's in Europe right now in the hospital. I've asked you all to pray for her, and she's doing better. She's still, the last time I spoke with her husband, she hadn't said anything. She hadn't spoke, but she was moving her head and her eyes. Well, her daughter, when her daughter, this lady's constantly getting attacked. She's an intercessor. She's a prayer warrior. She knows how to intercede and come against the enemy. Well, when her daughter was young, her youngest daughter, she has two sons and a daughter. Now her daughter's older now, and she's pregnant. She has twins. Well, when she was a little girl, she experienced, when I was going to their church, an encounter with demons. She had a lot of dolls. Her father is African. And she yelled out for her parents and, you know, mommy, mommy, you know, hurry, hurry. They come in and she goes, what happened? And she goes, the dolls stood up and were dancing around her and they were telling her, do you want to play with me? Do you want to play with me? And so from that point on, the parents got rid of the dolls and a lot of other toys. My pastor at the time, her Anita's husband, was no stranger to these attacks because he came from Africa and you would see things like that. They saw a lot of weird stuff over there. So to him, that wasn't abnormal. He had seen that. Not that they invited that into their homes, but they knew that the enemy, how the enemy operated. And so later on, as I even shared with them that there's some things in Disney that God had showed me when I went years back to a Disney park in Europe, that God had exposed to me that those things were idols, you know, that we shouldn't have that in our home. And I got rid of a lot of things that family members had given to my children. And so I got rid of all of that. And God gave a sister in our church a dream that she had seen me and the other ladies in her house and that there was mice in the house and that I took the mice that I saw on the floor. They all got on the sofa, but I got brave and I took the mice and I slapped it by the, I took it by the tail and I slapped it and killed it, opened the window and threw it out the window. But when I threw it out the window, there were thousands, that mice end up having its life back. It came back to life. And so there were thousands and hundreds of mice out there. It was like a plague of mice. And I'm like, you know, well, what does that mean? But then later on, as the years went by, the Lord showed me that this Disney stuff would be bigger and greater than before, than when I first encountered that in that park, and that sister had that dream. God was only letting us know, you're killing this now, but there's, this thing is going to get bigger. It's going to get bigger. And it did. Now we see all these parks, and it's gotten crazy with the Disney stuff. And so you know, even with my grandchildren, I warn my children, but, you know, you're not their parent and you can't say do anything, but you do have to warn your family and let them know, look, these movies, look, these cartoons, these things, this has an affiliation with the demonic. Keep this out. Children end up having problems with behavior, their behaviors, and they have all these things in their homes that you don't even realize it. Thank God my friend got rid of all of that. But the enemy's always trying to find another way to infiltrate. It's either through the movies, through music. The Little Mermaid is another thing. I've seen on YouTube this couple. She's African-American and he's African. And she's in love with the Little Mermaid. And they're both believers. They're both Christians. And he was commenting that he doesn't know how we Americans can follow things like that, like the Little Mermaid. In Africa, they call it Mami Wata. And they know that the mermaid has something to do with the demonic realm. And so he says, you know, over there, they don't play with that. They don't even have it as dolls. They know that having things like that is inviting the dead. And so I think there is a theme in what God has wanted me to talk to you about tonight. We cannot involve ourselves with the dead, the things that are dead, because as we take that on, we become like that. And God does not want us to be part of that. He doesn't want us to have anything to do with that. One thing is to go to see your family members and honor their memory, but honoring their memory doesn't mean that you start talking to them when they're in the other realm, whether it's hell or heaven. You don't talk to the dead. God forbids that. Joseph, he listened to his father and honored his father and took his father's bones back to where they came from. So he honored the dead, but that doesn't mean he went talking to his father. And so we need to be real careful. In the Christian realm, there's people that have gone to cemeteries and have said that they have had encounters with the spirit realm, and they make it sound like it's something from God when it's not. We need to be real careful, very careful. I've mentioned this before. So I saw this table and that cartoon of the skulls in there, and in my first show, you can see the pictures that I always put in there. That you can look at when you download whatever archives that I'm speaking, you'll see the pictures on there. I put the picture of the skeletons. They make it look so cute. They have a movie. I'm not going to mention it, but it has to do with, you know, Hispanics. And, you know, the Hispanics have a lot of demonic things that it's passed down from generation to generation. It's like tradition, but people don't realize that traditions that they're following have something to do with the demonic forces, that have nothing to do with God. But because of tradition, they keep hold of things, and it gets passed down to their family. And so we have to be careful. We have to change. We have to change not how our mom, our dad have taught us. And my grandfather used to do witchcraft and be involved in Santeria. And I remember that when my parents sent us to Puerto Rico to live with him for about a year before they came down, because they were selling everything in the States, he decided to take us to one of those seances, you know, where they conjure up the spirits. And that was one of the things in my life that I repented of that, because, I mean, although I didn't do anything, I didn't go because I wanted to, I went because my grandfather made us go. And so repentance has to be done, whether you've done it or whether a parent or a grandparent has done these things. You have to repent and you have to break off with those things. So my mom was really mad because she didn't believe in none of that. And so, but regardless, being in the presence and being involved with that, you're part of it. And so many years back, I repented of all that because I knew all these things weren't of God. And those spirits, they linger in generations, and they have familiar spirits, and they want to sort of like train the next generation to be involved in things like that. And so you see that in families where our youth now is getting more wicked and more wicked, and they get themselves so involved. So you start innocently with one thing, and then you say, well, where did all this come from? Well, did you have Disney, all this Disney paraphernalia in your home? Did you have all these other things that because of tradition that you had in your home? You know, it goes jumping from generation to generation. It just, it doesn't go away. So there has to be repentance. There has to be repentance. And if not, the generations get more twisted as they go. If it doesn't grab your children, it'll go through your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. We don't want that. There's got to be repentance in these last days. Things are going to get worse. And those that are repenting of their sins and walking the way that God wants them to walk are the ones that are going to make it. Amen? And so I'm not talking only about Disney characters. There's other companies that are doing movies just like them that are bringing demonic, the spiritual involved into it. And so even many times I'll be sitting down and I'll try to watch a movie. I rarely watch a movie, but when I sit down and start watching a movie, when something starts bothering me about this, the movie, I'm just like, I shut it down. I'm like, wait a minute, where is this going? This is not good. It may seem okay, but be careful. It's going to try to suck you in. And so so when somebody tells you to consult the mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, you shouldn't go to these people and inquire of them, you know, they're different gods. Why consult the dead? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? These psychics, they have nothing. They are not godly. And you know what? I remember my grandfather would go and they would even talk about Jesus. But this was not Jesus. This was some other Jesus that they would be talking about. So we as kids, who you know, we were like, wait a minute. But even so, I knew in my spirit, not having been in anything else, not encountering anything else, that this Jesus that they were talking about, this was not from God. And so my step-grandmother, she would get mad at me, and I would pretend to be like the spiritist and, you know, like mock them, and my grandmother would scold me for it, and I'm like, that's not real. And so she goes, girl, you shouldn't be disrespecting them. I'm like, I didn't really care. I found it funny. But as a young woman, as a young girl, a little girl, I would see things in my room. My brother and my sister never saw anything like that, but I was always seeing stuff. And I believe that it was because of the generation that my grandfather's involvement and all that stuff, it was trying to grab a hold of me somehow. And it didn't work. God got me. I'm on God's side. God is on my side. Amen. So when somebody tells you, hey, let's go to these mediums, that's popular now. The mediums and spiritists on, and they're talking to you from mom and dad, and they're giving you, and these are familiar spirits. Be really careful with these things. Shut it off when you see them, okay? Don't go to those to consult the dead. We don't speak to the dead. Those are death. That's death. Anything with death? Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, and he called them whitewashed tombs. Why? Because they painted them, making them pretty on the outside, but they were full of dead men's bones. these things, the spiritism, the movies, this is full of dead men's bones. This has nothing that it's going to offer you. Stay away from it. Stay away from the Ouija board. Stay away from anything that, because you're opening yourself up to this, and you may not be affected as bad as your children or your grandchildren will be. It's going to mess them up. I remember my friend had a son, and she had him out of wedlock, and she had a babysitter. It appeared that this babysitter was using her son. They had targeted him to use him for witchcraft, right, for something demonic. And the lady was his nanny and was taking care of him, and he was acquiring abilities that he didn't have before. And he was growing really fast. He was talking faster. He was doing things a lot faster than any other child his age. And so my friend didn't understand what was going on with him. But then she realized, wait a minute, this has to do with witchcraft. They're grooming my son for a position. So they were going to do something with him, and they probably were going to steal him from her. Well, she took him and disappeared with him. And apparently she was right, because I believe the lady, they killed her because she didn't complete her assignment. And so it got real scary. And then her son reverted back to being his age. All the abilities that he had gained through being watched through this nanny, he lost it all. He lost it all. We have to be real careful who we allow our children to be watched by, okay? And God bless those that know how to take care of children and love and pray for them. And, I mean, you're doing an amazing thing. You don't even realize how important that is for parents to have somebody godly to take care of your children. So don't go to these people. These spirits have been around for a while, and they know families. They know a person from when they were born to when they're older. They know everything about them. They're called familiar spirits because they're familiar with you, with your family, with a generation. They know what sins trouble the generation, because they're the ones that are troubling these people. So don't go opening demonic doors. I've spoken to you about an uncle that's into that, and I've been telling him, and I've been walking in love, and I've been warning other people in our casual conversations, just throwing it in there, letting them know we're not to mess with these things. A lot of people will go to church, but then at home they're dabbling with this thing, and they don't think that they're doing anything wrong. And it is wrong. Don't open the doors. Don't give your children toys related to the dead. Don't open the doors to attack your children. Amen? Be careful what you allow your children and who they are being taken care of by, because they, like I told you, my friend's son was attacked. You know, he was having these supernatural abilities of being able to walk and talk and, you know, above and beyond his years. But then as soon as this lady was out of his life, whoop, all those abilities left him. So praise the Lord. God is good. He protects us. But we also have to do our part. We don't get involved in these things. And now more than ever, we see this. We see it even in tattooing. Churches are allowing these people, good, you know, they're loving people, but they're in sin, you know, with the homosexual lifestyle. God is not pleased with that. Christian churches are having their doors open. I know, because I know people that are going to Christian churches. They've invited me to go, and see what they're and they talk in tongues and everything. But hey, judgment is coming. God said, God warned the churches in the Bible. He went through each church, letting them know what their sins were. We better be careful where we're going. We better be careful who we are allowing to be our covering. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to take some calls tonight. And give me 1 second here. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm looking for a number here. Oh, dear. You know, I write the numbers down, and if you come in and I'll write them down. If you come in later and I don't see you, then, you know, I can't do anything. But the person that was here earlier dropped, but I would have taken them. All right, let me take the first caller. Praise God. Your name and where you're from?
Yes, this is Sarah calling from Alabama. How are you?
Praise God. Good. Praise God. All right. You know the deal. Let me pray for you, and I'll be right back. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, Father God, for Sarah from Alabama. Thank you, Lord. You know, I see like a big splash. You know how when you get close to a beach where it has rocks and, you know, the waves are splashing in there, and those that get too close, they're going to get wet. They're going to get soaked when they walk too close to something. And sometimes when you get too close to raging waters, it may even try to pull you in. And so I see this big splash of water, and it's getting you wet. But I believe God is warning you, don't get too close, because you're going to get more than wet. Amen. And so God warns us because he loves us. He protects us when we listen. And so this is what I'm seeing. It's no joke. It's no joke. The splashing waters may do more than splash. And so we thank you, Lord, for Sarah's life, because she's obedient to hear. She's not only a hearer, but she's a doer of your word. And she listens, and she avoids disaster. She avoids the impending danger. And so we thank you, Father God, for that. We thank you, Father God, because she listens. She hears the voice of a shepherd, and the voice of a stranger she does not hear. So we thank you, Father God. Father God, for the listening ears, for the obedient heart, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Sarah, hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing great. A little, you know, tired. The weather has been crazy with the water and the winds and, you know, dealing with allergies and stuff like that. That's not fun.
Yeah.
So, what would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, I guess I was really kind of concerned about the splashing in the water. Trying to figure out, is it just...
I don't know what it is, but what I'm sensing is that you're getting too close to something that may not be good for you, and you know it's not good for you, but you sent a splash on you, but you get too close, and it can, you know, more than splash you, it can splash you and overtake you. So it's just a warning. The Lord will show you what it is if you don't already know. Amen.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes,
prophecy is not for the moment. Sometimes it's something that's going to happen in the future. And as it's happening, you know that the Holy Spirit will bring it to you and let you see and remind you, this is what God was talking about. So, and then you can't avoid, you know, sometimes we don't realize that going through a certain area may be not good for you. For example, there were people warning this week of this certain road that family members live in this one town, and at night there were people driving through there, and they were putting obstacles in the middle of the road to cause people to either hit their car or slow down or have an accident. But it was for people to come and steal from them. And so people sent out warnings, you know, this is happening on this road at night. Beware. Beware. And it's, a road that doesn't have any other avenues to go around it. So we avoid warning. We avoid the disaster when we heed the warning. Amen? When we heed the warning. So I'm like, oh, I don't go out at night. I get up. I stay at home. I rarely go out at night unless, you know, I've had a long day and I haven't eaten, and I need to get something, then I'll quickly. But nighttime is for going to bed. We have no business going out. So, you know. But it's always good to know that there's something, you know, if something's going on there, you get a warning that people are letting you know. Oh, well, you know, you never know. And so people were taking pictures of things, obstacles that they were putting right in the middle of the road. Right in the middle of the road. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you can't see too well. So heeding the warning. Amen.
Amen.
So how was your week?
Well, I'm glad before I answer that, I'm just so glad that I listened to BGN and the warning, because God knows what to tell you, when to tell you, and what to look out for. So the Lord is leading and guiding in that arena. But my week was good. Some days I stayed up later than I should have. I should have been in the bed around 10 o'clock. I was like, oh, goodness, I got to get over that. But we have a lot of things in common. I know my mother passed away 3 years ago as well. It took me a while to get over it, but God is he helps us, you know, he helps us. He's there.
Yeah,
he's filling the void.
Easier.
He makes it easier.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't hurt nonetheless, you know, missing them, especially when holidays come up that you miss having them. But, you know, it does get easier. It seems like the waves get less and less, less and less. And before you know it, it doesn't sting anymore. I was thinking about you. As I was preaching, I was like, you know what? We are so blessed to have a Sarah. We need more Sarahs, because you take care of children. And not everybody has people that will take care of their children and talk to them about God the way you do. We need more Sarahs, you know, with all the crazy stuff that go on and the way that children are sometimes not treated right. Honestly, you're a blessing. Wherever you're living at, they don't even realize what a blessing they have in you. Like I was saying about my friend, that her oldest son, when she was at a wedlock, a young woman had somebody taking care of him. Could you believe they were trying to groom her son? I guess, you know, for witchcraft. And because it didn't go well, they took her life instead. And so, but having
wow.
a good caretaker, you know, you can go to work in peace. But, you know, I mean, and God, look what God did with my friend. She became a pastor. She became a pastor's wife. And God started using her mightily. And so I'm like, wow, look at all the things that the enemy wanted to do to destroy her and her family. But he wasn't able to. And she's overcome over and over again. And so, you know, we don't realize, I mean, how hard it is for parents to leave their children in the hands of strangers. And you're a believer. So praise God. We thank you and honor you because you are a caretaker, and that's a special person. It takes a special person to take care of children because they can wear you out. They can wear you out.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mention it because we had a meeting not too long ago, and it's brought through the Department of Human Resources, DHR. Mm-hmm. You have to meet regulations, and mm-hmm. they just brought up a lot of things that important key factors to taking care of the children, not letting them go with different people. If it's a single mom and you have to go through a write-up, you know, like who did she, the important people that the child can go with, checking their ID, because now it's so many crimes have been committed now because, you know, people are like not knowing, unaware that, you know, the child can be taken by someone who may be pretending or, you know, trying to lure the child on and get them into another arena like your friend went through. I mean, that stuff happens. People are out there to hurt children more and more each day, and they're not actually there for their safety. And so in the world we live in today, and they were stating this in a meeting, they're out to hurt the children more so to be there for their safety, make sure they get back to their parent. It's like those days are pretty much over. You have to do your you're going to have to stay on your guard. You know, who was that that came to pick the child up? Did you check their ID? Okay, who was the next in of kin to come and pick them up? Did you check their ID? Before you let the child come into the center of the facility, you got to make sure they didn't have any bite marks on them or bruises or check all that. Yeah, so because they can't come in if they've had that. Make sure the parent, in other words, make sure the parent knows about that before
they
can come in. Yeah, it's a lot that goes along with it. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to be like a detective watching and you're not going to undress these kids. You don't know what's going on underneath. I mean, all that you can see is what you see visually, marks on their hands and legs, but you can't undress them. You don't know what's going on. But that makes it that much harder, too. But people don't understand. It's more than that. It's their emotional well-being. What are they going through? What are they going through at home? What are they going through in the daycare? You never know who's who or what they're doing. You know, I mean, even adults are going through stuff. So can you imagine little children that are too scared to say anything, or teenagers, you know, by their own peers? We have to be so vigilant. But it's important to be a good caretaker, whether it's children, teenagers, the elderly. When you're taking care of other people, you need to be observant of what's going on, because things can change so quickly, and they you know, it could end up turning on you too, you know. But I am so glad that we have people like you out there that are very concerned, and that you take your job very seriously. And it's a hard job. It's not an easy job taking care of children or elderly or teenagers. You know, it's tough. It's tough. Things in this world are really tough, but God gives us the grace for ourselves, the grace to give to others. So praise God. You keep on moving, girl. Keep on doing what you're doing. We thank God for you. And train those around you well. Yeah, train those well around you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much. Just pray that I continue to do the work of God and continue to be moving on in Him. That's what I want to do. Yeah.
Amen.
So that's all.
All right. So let's pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Sarah, Father God. We ask you, Father God, the same prayer that she's asking, Father God, that you be with her, that you allow your life in her to just touch this world and make this world a better place for your glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Protect her also, Father God, as she's taking care of the children and those around her, Father God. Allow her, Father God, to also take care of herself. Give her ways to know how to do that, Father God. Give her creative ideas on how to help those around her and help herself at the same time, where she is leading a healthy life, a blessed life, but also blessing others, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for Sarah. Bless her, Father God, mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Sarah. God, thank you for calling, and God bless you.
Okay, God bless you, and have a blessed Labor Day, and as well, talk to you soon, and love y'all.
All right.
Okay.
I love you, too. Bye-bye. All right, 334-403, your name and where you're from?
Lovely to come, and how you doing? This is Sonia from Alabama.
Another Alabama girl. Okay, let me put you on mute. Give me a minute. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for Sister Sonia, Father God. You know, I know you are a mature woman, but God is going to give you even more wisdom beyond your years, too. It's possible, even as we are mature, that God can give us this maturity in our years. Father God, we just thank you, Father, for giving her the wisdom that she needs, Father God, to encourage, to bless, to advise others, Father God, wisdom to speak where wisdom is needed. And so we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the wisdom that you're giving her, Father God, even beyond the mature years that she has, Father God, the supernatural wisdom that only comes from God. And so we thank you, Lord, for Sister Sonia, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that you don't have to be young to be having the wisdom beyond our age, beyond our years, that it is coming from you, the Ancient of Days. And so we thank you, Father God, for your wisdom in our lives, in Sister Sonia's life, Father God, to bless others for your glory, for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name. You know, I don't know what it is, but I see you, like, speaking. I think you're going to be speaking to, I believe it's, like, some people at church. You know, your words are going to be considered, something that they needed to hear. And so I'm not sure if it's the leadership or what, but I see you speaking and them listening. So I praise you, Lord, for the wisdom that comes from heaven that touches Sister Sonia's mind, heart, and her lips in Jesus' name. So we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. All right, let's see. Hey, Sister Sonia, how are you?
I am blessed. How are you doing?
Oh, blessed.
Thank you. I enjoyed preaching about that witchcraft and all that stuff. That is so true. I was like,
yes.
Wow. But you know
yes.
what? I want to thank God. Do you know what my name means?
What is, does it mean?
My name, Tanya, means wisdom.
It means wisdom?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Well,
I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that.
You were breaking that, but I think it's my phone. But I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, no, I was just laughing.
Oh, yeah. That's what my name means. And one day this week I said, Lord, now let me walk in this wisdom. That's what my name means. And then you don't tell me. I was like, wow.
So that's just God letting you know he heard you.
Yeah, he did. And
yeah.
Going, wow.
Wow, that's amazing. That is, oh, God is so good.
It
wow.
is. That's a testimony.
Yes. So I saw you. I was like seeing you speaking, and I don't know if it's leadership that you're going to be speaking to, but it's something you're saying that is coming from wisdom, and, you know, that's what I saw you doing. Amen. So that
right.
confirms it. God mm-hmm. is confirming it to you that you're walking in it, that he's created you for that. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? See, I'm already a minister.
You are?
Yeah. And so, what I'm
When did this happen?
Oh, I've been a minister since 84.
Oh, wow.
I used to just be a witness, but... And like my the prophet
39 years.
The prophet that's under, he said, you need to get your minister license. He said, you can minister without your license, but you need them because the world is evil. And now nowadays. So he was right. So,
wow. Yeah. Wow. Yes. Well, that makes sense why God is going to use you and you're going to be used for leadership. There's something that's going on probably that they're going to need your wisdom. Wow. Makes even more sense. I didn't know that about you.
I know, I just enjoy the prayers and stuff, but that's another thing I was talking to God. I said, now, Lord, I need to be about my Father's business, about your business, Lord. I said, you are my Lord and my God. And you put me in this to be a witness, a minister. I said, I don't want to be like any normal leader. I want to go into the depths of your mystery to feed people what they really need to eat. I said, but I can't do it without your wisdom.
Yeah.
Yes, and you have a lot of wisdom. And just because we're growing older and our bodies are growing older, that doesn't mean that we're any less than somebody that's younger. I see you that you are full of God's wisdom. And because of that, God is going to use you in different ways that he would have never been able to use you when you were younger. You see?
That's the truth. Do you know why? Because, well, when I first got saved, somebody that wasn't saved, I said, I plead the blood of Jesus. You know, and I'm not going to go in on that, but God told me how to witness. He taught me. But I didn't want nobody going to hell, but if they weren't saved, I would bring them.
Well,
thank
it's
God
like,
God us.
I was talking to... I can't hear you too well. What was that again?
I said, thank God he got a sense of humor and he brings us some wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was talking to two ministers. They're a married couple, and they're pretty up in age in their late 70s or 80s. And he's very weak in his body, and they're ministers for life. They gave him their license, and they told him they're ministers for life. And so you could hear his voice, that preacher's voice. But if you look at him, he's very frail in his body, but the wisdom that he has, and he was talking to me about all the records that he has of all the people that he married. And so God touched my heart to let him know that his ministry now is to pray for those people that he married and those that got divorced and those that need to be back together again. And he looked at me like, you know, I go, that's your new homework, your new assignment, your new assignment. And so he was like, I didn't realize I married so many people, he said, throughout the years. But even looking away from him, you could hear his booming preacher's voice. And when he says something, and I'm like, my goodness. That voice that he has, you know, yet his body has gone frail, but the Spirit of God is so strong in him, you know. And I was like, wow, all these years. And his wife is a minister too. And the words that come out of their hearts, out of their mouths are, oh, my goodness. I was like, wow. You could tell that they've gone through a lot. But God is still using them, even in their age. So there's more packed in there. There's more packed in there. I mean, you can't do the things that you're doing now than when you were, you know, when you were young. You can do more, but don't limit yourself. Don't see yourself just because your body can't do something that it used to do. Now the Spirit of God is going to do it differently. It's all on Jesus. It's all on God, relying on him. Amen?
Amen. And you know what? It's better God's way anyway.
Yes. Yes, and that's the lesson there. That what we go through all this, we learn the lesson that it's not us, it's God in us. That's
Amen.
What we're doing on us. Amen. And you know, sometimes it takes a lifetime to learn that for some people. And so there's wisdom, lots of wisdom. Praise God. All right, Sister Sonia, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Did you want me to pray for you?
Pray for PGN and Prophet Randy.
Lord, right now, you see every man, every woman on earth. Ministry on PGN. We ask you to touch Randy. Touch all of your prophets. Touch all of your prophetess, Lord. They labor amongst you. And Hebrews 6:10 coming, that's for you tonight. So God has not forgotten your labor of love. So I want you to meditate on that tonight, because there's a blessing I'm seeing in the spirit that God says, Carmen, your eyes have not seen. Carmen, your eyes have not heard what God is about to do for you. So meditate on Hebrews 6:10. And you know I don't give too many scriptures, but that's what's coming to my mind. And Lord, we're asking you right now, Lord, lay the wealth is laid up for the just, Lord. We are your people. We are the seed of your compassion, Lord. We thank you for your healing virtue. Where you're not just healing people's bodies and restoring their virtue, but we're also that you're healing their finances, healing everything that they went through, Lord. We ask you to bless Sister Carmen, Lord. Let her family humble themselves, even her cousins, her nieces, nephews, whoever's in her family, let them humble themselves and let them see that she is a woman of God that you're using in this hour. And we decree and declare that they will be saved. That, hallelujah, Jesus, that Lord, they'll see her walking in the light. And they're going to soon run to her and say, what must I do to get saved? See, right now, Sister Carmen, it ain't enough bad. It's bad stuff, evil stuff out there. But when we go further on before Christ come back, it's going to be so bad. And people going to be looking for you. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to receive salvation? You already know that. Praise God. But anyway, Lord, cover by your angel. Let goodness and mercy go beside her. Let the angel of beauty bands go in front and behind. Lord, we decree that her finances will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We detach and agree, and we decree that she'll have the windows and gates open. The floodgates are going to pour out and bless her. Everything she thought she needed, everything her heart desired, because she delighted herself in you, Lord. So we're asking you to give her every desire of her heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Were you there? Oh, my God.
Yes, God bless you, Sister Sonia.
Oh, wow.
Thank you for praying for PGN. No, I'm here. I was just silent and listening. All right. Well, God bless you. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we move on?
Just tell Sister Sarah I say hello. Hello, Sister Sarah. We're in the same state. We might be neighbors and don't even know.
Who knows? Yes, who knows? Yes. He's a blessing. All right. All right, Sister Sonia. Sister Wisdom.
You be blessed.
Amen. All right. God bless.
All right.
All right. 502-548, your name and where you're from.
Hey, Carmen. It's Greg from Kentucky.
Greg. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for Greg, Father God. You know, I see you like skiing, right? But you're at the bottom of the hill. Or the mountain, however you call that, whatever they get on. And I'm seeing that God's going to show you a different strategy. Like that hill with the snow is like symbolic of the winter, but God is going to show you how to get on the top so that you could go through and that you can be exhilarated by what you're going through and seeing how God is showing you how to do things. Instead of trying to go from the bottom up, God's going to show you how to get on the top and come down through that all that snow. It's almost like you're skiing, like you're going through training for skiing, but it's, you know, the seasons that are coming that may be scary. God is going to show you how to face them with, instead of fear, with fun. And that God's going to show you how to get on the top by going up higher with him. So when you're going through, you're going to go down that hill and enjoy your way down. You're going to be going like, yoo-hoo! Going through the winter, through that winter season that we all have to go through, but it doesn't have to be bad. I mean, there's some seasons that for some people, other people go through them, and it wasn't as bad because they had God showing them how to go through. And so that's what I see you. I see you first on the bottom of that hill, but then as you realize you can't go up on that hill, you're not. But God is saying, no, you're gonna learn how to be up here and then go down, and you're gonna tackle this in a different way from a different position. So God is going to show you how to go through, and it's not going to be the way that you think. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for Greg, Father God, for the strategies that God is showing him and teaching him and how to see things in a different perspective and how to go through in a different perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Amen.
Hey, Greg.
Hey.
Hey, Greg. Yoo-hoo!
Yeah.
What you doing?
That could have easily applied to a lot of situations. I mean, really.
Really?
Oh, yeah, find new strategies. And I mean, I can see that.
This could be in the future is what I'm seeing. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah. Amen. So, how are you?
I'm good. It was kind of a rough day, but tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah, you're going to rest. You're going to enjoy yourself. So, yeah, immediately I saw you on the bottom of the hill, and it's almost like, okay, you're not seeing it with your eyes. You're not analyzing this situation with your eyes. You're seeing it with God's eyes, and God's going to give you, you're going to go, you're going to ascend his way, and you're going to come down the way that he says. And it's going to be fun for those that love skiing. I don't care for skiing.
Oh, yeah. I used to snow ski constantly, but I haven't been in years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I don't know how that feels.
It's pretty cool once you get the hang of it. When you first start, it's kind of frustrating. But, yeah.
I think I would be I wouldn't know what to do. My son would go skiing. I don't know He had his skiing gear and all that stuff. I don't know. I probably fall down like a little kid.
Yeah, I did a lot of that.
So how's everything? How long have you been doing that?
Oh, I started, early teens maybe. And skied well into my 20s. Yeah, all the way through college.
Whoa.
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you're a seasoned, but you don't go up on the big one until you know what to do, right?
Oh, right. No. You stay on the bunny slope until you get a hang of it, and then you can move to the next size slope, and once you get the hang of that, then you can move to the next one. So back when I was doing it, they had coded like symbols, like a black diamond was like probably one of the most difficult runs.
Oh.
Yeah, I never did those.
What do they call the first one?
Black diamond. The easy one, like the beginner slope, is called the bunny. We always called it the bunny slope.
Okay.
But
the one that
I knew of at the time was the black diamond. They used they would have little black diamonds all down the trail, so you knew that it was the most technically difficult trail.
Whoa! Wow! So you are a seasoned skier.
No, I would not do the black diamonds. I wouldn't get near one. That was above my level of proficiency.
Yeah, Big Bear has skiing places. Man, when it snows up there, the flakes are so big and flaky and powdery. It's very different. The snow there is real different. Have you ever been up there?
Yeah. No, I'm an East Coast skier. West Virginia and the Carolinas is some of the best mountains like Beach Mountain, Snowshoe, and
really?
Like that. Yeah.
Must be beautiful.
It's got nothing on the West Coast, but I've not ever had the opportunity to ski the West Coast. But for around here, yeah, it's
okay.
It's been good.
Well, I didn't know that's something new. I didn't know about you either. I've been finding out things.
I learned to surf in my early 20s. I was an avid water skier all the way into my 30s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I never really
That's interesting.
Still.
Wow.
But
so you're a skier. Wow.
I was.
Wow.
Last time I water skied was probably 8 years ago, I guess.
Mm. Well, I'm not one. I like the cold weather better than the heat.
I do not.
That's a
I'm a summer boy. I take a 100-degree day anytime over a 20-degree day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But how about humid? You haven't been in humid heat.
I live in the Ohio River Valley. It's pretty humid. Yeah.
Really
so
humid?
It's, oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so then you'd be a beach
brutal.
Boy.
I would be, yes.
Yeah.
I would be in a heartbeat.
Oh, I like the cold because I could bundle up. It's nicer.
I can never bundle up enough when it gets too cold.
Really?
Mm-mm.
That's weird. Well, in the fireplace, I love it. I love
October
weather on.
Yeah, I love October weather.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The leaves start falling. It looks like confetti all over the place. Like a party. Confetti. Oh, all right. So is there anything else that you would like to say tonight before we move on to the next caller?
No, I appreciate the prayer, and I definitely see multiple applications for it now and in the future.
Okay, for jobs?
Yeah, for life in general, for pretty much everything.
All right. Let's pray for you. Father God,
you.
In the name of Jesus, Father, you know all the things that Greg is going through, Father God. He's seeking your direction. He's seeking your will, your ways. Father God, he wants what you want. He wants you in every area of his life. He wants for a good job. He wants for the good direction, good decision-making, Father God. Lord, everything, Father God, that's what you're trying to show him, that you're going to show him, that you're going to lead him, and that he's going to do it your way. And so we thank you, Father God, for your ways are better than ours. And you give us, like Sister Sonia was saying earlier, the desires of our heart. And so, Father God, he's desiring you. And when we desire you, that's where we have the victory. When we desire you, when we desire your ways. And that's where we hit the mark. So thank you, Father, because of the victories that are coming Greg's way, knowing that he can't do anything, but he can do all things with you, that the one that gives him the strength to overcome. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And sometimes when the enemy hits hard, it's because you're on the right track. The enemy wouldn't be bothering you, Greg, if he didn't see that you were not a threat. But because of that, he tries to mess with you. So don't think it's strange. That happens. And so thank you, Lord. Lead him and guide him in each way, Father God. Even the people that he's around with, Father God, Lord, lead him, Father God, that he leads in the way that he follows, in the way that you lead him. Father God, sharpen his hearing, Father God, like never before, as the days and times are becoming strange, Father God. I just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, a higher sense of hearing in Jesus' name, hearing the voice of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen,
amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right,
amen.
Greg.
Thank you.
Good to hear you. You're welcome.
You too.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right. Let's see. Oh, this thing is... All right, there we go. All right. 903808. Let's see. Oh wait, I got a different number. 828-4. Okay, this is Jennifer.
Jennifer, yes, it's Jennifer.
Oh yeah, I know that voice anywhere. All right, give me a minute. Thank you, Lord. Jennifer. All right. You know, God doesn't make any mistakes is what I'm hearing. He does not make any mistakes. Sometimes we don't understand his ways. We don't understand why certain things happen a certain way. But God doesn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make any mistakes. He knows what's best. He knows what's best. And sometimes we think that, you know, well, why did this happen? Why doesn't this happen? You know, and so God doesn't make any mistakes. Example, a man is a boss and he has an employee, and he keeps telling his employee, why isn't things going my way? Why is it always going this way? And the employee will say, God knows best. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't make any mistakes. And so a day comes, and he goes into the village, and before that, he has an accident, and he loses a toe. And so he tells his employee, well, why did this happen? You know, if God knew everything, why am I getting hurt? Why am I, you know, why is this happening? He says, I don't know. The employee says, but God knows best. He knows why he's doing things. So this man goes into the village, and in the village, he gets some men that come after him and take them to their village, and they wanted to sacrifice him. But instead, when they're looking at him, getting him ready to be sacrificed, they go, oh, no, we can't sacrifice you because you're not a pure sacrifice. You got a broken, you got a toe missing, so we can't sacrifice you. You got to go. We'll look for another one. And so he goes back to his employee. He says, oh, because I didn't have the toe that I complained about, I wasn't sacrificed. And so the employee says, well, see, God knows best. He knows what he's doing. And so Jennifer, God knows best. He knows what he's doing. The things that you think that you're lacking that are not there in your life, God knows why he's doing it. He knows best, and he knows why he's doing it for the future. So he knows best. Amen. And so thank you, Lord, for Jennifer, Father God, for the things that have happened to us, that you know best, and you know how to orchestrate our lives better than we can. And so she gives her life to you, and we thank you, Father God. She thanks you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Father God, for her life, because you know how to do things in our lives that are best for us. Father knows best. Father knows best. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. All right.
Amen. Hi.
Amen.
Amen.
How are you?
I don't know. Pretty in a pretty dark place. I feel like a spirit of depression and confusion on me.
We rebuke that in Jesus' name. Yes, right now off of her. We rebuke that spirit of depression and confusion to go in Jesus' name. And anybody else that's on the line, we command that spirit to leave in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hey, girl. What's up?
Last night, like I said, the lights went out. This dark place. It's time to get my peace, and God's peace back.
You got authority. Remember that.
Yeah, I know.
You have authority to tread upon snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Remember, we have authority. Sometimes we don't think we have authority. We even have authority over the weather. The weather. We have influence. I tell you, they were doing some work in my house, and I couldn't have rain. And so I started rebuking the rain and asking God to send his angels to blow those clouds away and not let it rain on my house. Well, one lady came over. She goes, oh, you should be so glad you weren't in this other city, because it was pouring. It was a city nearby. It was pouring over there. He says, it's over here. I go, it tried to rain, but it left. I didn't tell her that I was praying against it. And every time it happened, it came back. And I kept praying against it, and it would go. And it's not the first time I've done that, too. I've had other situations where I've had prayed over things, and it's happened. We have authority. We have authority. You have authority. Take authority over your situation in your life. And remember, God knows why he allows certain things. Sometimes it's to allow us to go through to see that we have the authority. You know, until we get fed up and realize, wait a minute, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this mess. I'm taking authority in Jesus' name. And you're going to start seeing some things. We have to be careful what we say with our mouth, too. Our mouth, what we say. Sometimes we're believing certain things, and it's the enemy messing with our mind. So be careful what you say with your mouth, because you can also be in agreement. We don't want to be in agreement with the enemy. Don't be in agreement with the enemy. I have to remind myself constantly, especially when you're getting closer to God, the enemy will try to hit you harder. And it's something new, always something new. But you got, you have the authority in Jesus' name. Amen? And being
Amen.
Surrounded by people of like-minded, you know, iron sharpens iron. When you're with other people and when you're down, they'll bring you up. And sometimes they're the ones that are down, you bring them up. And so you got to know what people you got to be surrounded with. It's not that we're always, you know, surrounded with, you know, people that are always going to be bringing us up. Because remember, we got to bring other people up too. But we have those moments where we need those spiritual warriors to help us. But it's not for us to stay, you know, in that position all the time. You know, sometimes it's us, sometimes it's them, and sometimes it's other people that are learning how to come into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
As they learn from God, as they learn from God, you're going to be teaching them, showing them. Amen? And sometimes those attacks will come, but we as women, I think we go through a lot of struggles because our hormones change so much. It's kind of when it's an attack or when it's our hormones. So that's why it's so important to keep healthy, to keep really healthy so we know that it's not, that we're not taking care of ourselves. Eating right, drinking the right liquids, sleeping. Sleep is very important. The vitamins. Some people need more vitamins than others. You know, I have a sister that she's gluten intolerant, and so she goes through different challenges than the rest of the family does. So she has to deal with those things, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Some people go in through hormonal problems, and some people go through them real strong. I know of some people that after they get a hysterectomy, oh, my God, their body goes crazy. So depending on what's going on in your life, take care of those issues. And when, as you take care of your body, like if you were somebody else, like you were standing in front of you and you're taking care, loving on yourself, taking care of yourself, I've been learning to do that, that I can't go. I have to love myself. I have to put myself to bed. I have to make sure that I take my vitamins. I have to, you know, I treat myself as another person, loving myself. Amen? And so we have to do that, to love ourselves, not in a selfish way, but in a way where we're more productive for the kingdom of God so that God can use us to bring him glory. Amen? You know, so we have to take care of ourselves and love ourselves with the help of God. Only he knows what we need. And so, but we know the basics, water, sleep, vitamins, proper nutrition, and even our minds. That's where our battle is always, our mind. We got to be careful what food we take in the mind. We don't want the, just like we don't take junk food in our body, we don't take the junk in our mind either. We have to, you know, and if we're sensitive already, we have to be real more careful. Like my sister, she's very sensitive. She can't eat bread. So she goes into horrible pain. And so some people cannot deal with certain types of emotions because it throws them off. It goes and makes them go down real quick. You know, maybe somebody else may not have that issue, but somebody else does. So we have to learn what things may trigger us to have those things, to be in those places that we have to stop and avoid. Amen? And have wisdom in those things. And you're going to be showing other women because there's so many women that go through these things. And so you're going to get the victory in a lot of things, Jennifer. Victory to help others too, for God's glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. It's not
Thank
only
you.
For you. It's for others. It's for others too. I don't know if you have daughters or family members that go through this. It's not easy. Amen. And so.
Amen.
It is a much better when it's like a car. When you put the right fuel in it, it starts running smoothly. You put bad fuel in it. I mean, I had that debate with my dad when he was alive. I would put better fuel in his car, and he would always put the cheap fuel. And he would know immediately that I had gone to the gas station and filled his car up with the right gas, because he would go, "You put the good gas, didn't you?" And I go, "Yes." He goes, why are you asking?" He goes, "The car's sounding smooth." Ah, okay. You know, so there is a difference. Things will go smoother. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we don't want to spend the extra money for the extra gas, for the good gas. That was my cheap dad. He didn't want the good gas. So I was like, no, pay now or pay later. Amen.
And thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, girl. You have a good week. I believe you're going to have a good week in Jesus' name.
Thank you. You too.
All right. God bless. All right. Okie dokie. All right. I have another caller, but if you don't raise your hand, I do not pick up. Okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to play a song, and if there's anybody else that needs some ministering tonight, I will put that on. Give me a second. All right, give me a second.
These
All right. Well, I just want to apologize for tonight. I've been under the weather. I've been feeling really weak and tired. Last night was not easy. But I'm here. And I just wanted to mention that today is my spiritual birthday. It's been 35 years that I became born again, that the Lord saved me. 35 years, wow, it doesn't feel like, oh, that's a lifetime. And I'm still in love with the Lord after all these years. I remember when I first got born again, how I didn't expect a lot of the things that I started learning, and I was like, oh, wow, all the things that I was told weren't true. I was kind of angry, but at the same time, the way that God manifested in my life and other people's lives, I was like, wow, I never knew that this could be so, you know, possible. And the way that the Lord loved me and showed me where I was at and where he was bringing me, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I praise God for the 35 years, and I praise to go on strong in the next 30, 40 years, however long the Lord has me on this earth. And so praise the Lord. If anyone else needs prayer ministry tonight, if you want me to pray for you, minister to you tonight, just raise your hand, dial 1 on your phone, and then I'll be able to take your call. All right. Let's see. All right. I see a number. Give me 1 second here. Ina ma karabo soto rebo koye na ba soto rebi kishi tanda la vakai. All right. 903-808, your name and where you're from.
Hey, Carmen. This is Jeannie in Texas.
Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie, Father God. You know, the Lord sees everything. He sees the tears that you've shed. And he takes them in a bottle, and he collects every tear, and nothing goes to waste. Nothing goes to waste. Even the things that you haven't even said, he sees it all. And you know what, Jeannie? Tears are liquid prayers. Liquid prayers. That's why they're so precious to the Lord. They're precious to him because they're saying something. And so even in our struggles and whatever we go through, God is there. And sometimes he prepares us through even those struggles that we go through. Like the story that I was telling Jennifer of this man that was always complaining. Well, why? Why is this all this always happen to me? Why is this always happening? And the employee would always tell him, God knows best. God knows why he's doing it. Don't you worry. And things will happen. Finally, one day, this minister gets his toe cut off by accident. Not the minister. He was a boss. And so as he's been taken to a village, getting ready to be sacrificed, they reject him because he had his toe cut off. And so whatever we're going through, God is allowing us. He's strengthening us. Whatever we're going through, he has a purpose and a plan for everything that we have, that we're going through. We don't always understand it. We don't always understand it. And it's sometimes painful. And so even in the pain, as we're worshiping him and giving it to him, you know, that's an offering to him. That's a beautiful offering, an offering that we can't give other than, you know, in moments like that. If you're not in this pain and all this, that's exactly what God wants. That's a beautiful offering that you give to him when you're going through. And even though you're going through it, you still give it, give him the glory. You still give him the praise. And so we thank you, Lord, for Jeannie, Father God, tonight. We thank you, Father God, for her life. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've brought her through and the things that you're going to continue to bring her through. You know, I see you like riding like this wild horse, and this wild horse, and you don't let go. I see you holding on, and finally that horse is broken and tamed. And so the things that you've been going through, it's almost like God has put you on a wild horse for you to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And he's the one that's giving you the wisdom to get through, to pull through. And then so once that horse is broken, it knows that it can't, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, that you're the one that's doing it, but it's not you, it's God in you, God in you. So we thank you, God, for showing us that it's always you. You're the one that our victories are won because of you. And so we thank you, Lord. Yeehaw, Jeannie. God bless you. Let's get you on. Hold on. This is what happens when you don't use your glasses. Hey, Jeannie, God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Yes, riding horses, huh?
Well,
that's what I'm glad the spirit.
Yep. Well, I will keep you. I appreciate the prayer.
You're welcome. God bless you. You want to say anything before you go?
Too. No, ma'am. I'm good.
All right. God bless. All right. I have several callers. If you want prayer ministry tonight, please raise your hand. And I'll be able to take your call. All right, I have another caller. Give me a minute. Your name and where you're from?
Hi, Carmen. This is Teresa from in Illinois.
Teresa, all right.
We talked last year and some of the first part of this year, me and my mother. I'm thinking about you,
right,
Carmen. We're praying for you. All the people you done prayed for, we want you to get well.
All right, let me pray for you first. Let me put you on mute.
All
right, thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord, for Teresa, Father God, from Illinois. Thank you, Father God, for our sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just saw you like you were, like the Lord is going to give you his word like in a buffet. It's almost like you go into one of these restaurants where there's a variety. And so God's going to give you a variety of his word. He's going to give you a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I don't know if you're already doing that, but I see you like in a buffet of God's of God's word. And you don't know what to take first, so you take a little bit of this and you take a little bit of that, and you're satisfied. You're satisfied because that's exactly what you needed. You needed a little bit of this, a little bit of spinach, a little bit of dessert, a little bit of meat. You need a little bit of this. You need a little bit of that. And that may sound funny, but sometimes we do need a variety of things from the Lord. And he knows exactly what to give us at the moment. It's not just one thing. Sometimes we're going through different battles at the same time or different situations at the same time. And so God gives a satisfies. He satisfies us as we spend time with him. He gives us what we need, exactly what we need. And when we sit down and we get up, we are satisfied. He's the only one that satisfies. So I thank you, Lord, for the buffet of your word, pouring into Teresa, giving her what she needs. Maybe that might come from different ministries, too. There's always ministries that are strong in certain areas. And so we may sit down and listen to that, and that will speak to us about our finances. Another one speaks to us about health. The other one speaks to us about, you know, our emotions. You know, sometimes we need a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And so God is working that in your life as you seek him. And so he knows. God knows. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for our sister. Thank you, Lord, for supplying all her needs according to your riches in glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Teresa, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. What's going on, sister? God bless you.
So much funny stuff. You know, I remember one time when I first called you, it was like I was went to see somebody and I was got on their daughter's boyfriend. I never met him, and I was telling her daughter to call him immediately, like he wants her back with his daughter. And then that Monday he got killed, telling me, and I felt so bad. And you said that the blood wasn't on my hands. I don't know if you remember, and I was so worried because she didn't tell her daughter to call him, and he would have came over, you know. But I was worried about that. And then I had, me and my mother talked to you. You gave me such a wonderful, but the one thing I've done from what you gave me, one time you were stern with me. I wasn't letting something go, a person, and I had to release it, and I did it. And the thing is, Carmen, I had I told the Lord that I surrender. I give it all to you. And I said, Jesus, take over. And like the lady was saying, she depressed, and I was depressed. But sometimes God, I send you something. I said, to use me. And it was so strange that on Wednesday I went out, and I said, Lord, you use me. I don't know what's going on. So I was going to go to a thrift store, but some say go to the grocery store first. I said, but I'm going to the grocery store on Friday because it's closer to the holiday. I went in that store. Mm-hmm. I'm around it looking at the groceries like I'm at a bus, say, getting fruit and getting this. And I did get some wine for me and my mother for the holiday. Carmen, it was so funny. I remember seeing two ladies, and somehow some say, like, look at them. And I'm looking at them, but I'm not feeling nothing. But it was like the Lord was saying, them two ladies, you're going to be talking to them. And I'm like, I don't want to be talking to nobody because I'm going downstairs and get ready for my ride to pick me up. Well, God made it where, Carmen's the strangest thing. I'm in line and I got my groceries. So something, I go over to the side to put everything into my cart. I don't usually do that on the second floor of the store. I do that when I'm take the cart down to the first floor where you get into your ride. Well, anyway, Carmen, I had a bottle of wine in a bag tucked down in a bunch of other stuff. Carmen, this bag, I turned my head. It was like somebody had lifted it out all in between. And when fell to the floor in this bag, you know, by itself. So it broke straight up where the top of it was like it was cut in half. The wine was in the first part of it, and the top of the wine was broke off. And it was strange, so they came and put something in jail. Now, this ain't about the wine breaking. This is deeper. So So then I'm closer to these women at the customer service, and I'm listening, and they was telling a lady, like, one lady was mean, but God made it where she went, you know, he'll change the guard for the person he wants you to talk to. Just like he sent me in that store, because I'd listen to this. Well, anyway, I'm over there. Then a nice lady came over and was helping them and understood. They were saying they was in a fire, and they lost everything they had. It was her and her sister. And in the car they had, I find out all this later. So I said, oh, I went over to the side. They cleaning up the wine. So God made the wine. So this lady said in the store, I'm going to go get you another one. I said, no, maybe they ain't supposed to have that wine. She said, no, you broke it in the store, so we're going to replace it. You have your receipt. I said, oh, yeah. She went and got it for me. I said, okay, I'm thinking about that. So I'm listening to this story, and I'm like, oh, if my mother was with me, she would say, oh, Lord, here she go helping somebody. And I'm thinking that. But this day it didn't even come like that. So anyway, I said, oh, what's going on? And I'm so sorry to hear that. So she showed me the picture that they had for a GoFundMe, and I said, oh, send that to my phone. So I had been carrying something somebody gave me, Carmen, for my birthday. And I kept saying, Lord, I got my little makeup and all my little mess. I said, somebody I'm going to post to give this to or something, you let me know, Lord, when. I didn't think nothing out of somebody gave me $50 since June was my birthday, my car. And something was like, let them have it. And I said, look, here, this is your old thing. I said, no, this is God. I said, girl, I can't go there, but this wine falling and all this, I said, it's, I don't know, but this is for you. I said, but I just want to tell you, don't give up until God show up, whatever going on. So that was it for then. Well, when the deal went down, I leave and go out the store, and then the next day they text me like, thank you so much, you know, because she had texted my phone to give me the GoFundMe or whatever. But and she thanked me, and I said, no, that's the Lord. And she said, we didn't go in the shelter tonight. We was in the car all night talking about God sending you to us. And I said, and her sister was real depressed. Her sister was like, I can't take it no more. I want to go to the hospital, like she's mentally. And I said, well, I've been depressed too, but so come and go back a little. On Monday, I go to urgent care because I had, like, therapy back a couple of months ago for my knee. I got arthritis coming in my leg. And Carmen, I want you to know I went, and my leg was like it was so heavy and it swole up. And do you know I went out that Wednesday and it was like I had to, like, lift my leg to get out. Do you know after all that, when they saw me, I met with them again on Thursday. Do you know my leg, I ain't think about my leg, and it's like I know I got arthritis coming, but, honey, it's like I've been walking around like I'm a spring chicken. So the Lord did all that to see. I had to forget me and what I was, so he gave me. And I just said, Lord, I know you sneaky, so something coming up. And I told them I was not coming in no store. I ain't want to go no grocery store. I was going to a thrift store. So I was letting them know, look how God did it. So when we go fast forward ahead, I meet with them. I tell the cab driver what's going on. And he said, okay, I'm going to come back and get you, Teresa. Well, I meet with them, and they were eating the head. They brought in the little dog, and I said, Lord, please don't let them people. The waitress let the dog come in, everything. So then I said, look, they got a car. I said, what do you all want to do? And they said they want to go to a certain state. I said, well, what do you have there? Well, they said we could get a place there. And I'm all the time saying, now, Lord, if this is a scam, I told them, if this is a scam, this is on y'all between you and God, because I'm going to do what he's want me to do. I said, because it might be for me to do some penance, because he's whooping me, and I'm going to do what he say. I said, but if y'all ain't for real, that's between y'all and God. But anyway, when the deal went down, we go and get the oil change for this car to go to Florida. I go with them to this hotel, and it was so funny how where I met them at the stores right near my bank. I went and I said, Lord, what? I ain't no rich person, but it was life for me to do, and it was no problem. Okay, Carmen, we go ride out to near, you know, where they at. They gave them one room, and the next room they turned around and gave them was their mother's birthday, who they hadn't seen. And I told them, I'm going to be your mother today, and I'm a friend. The room number was their mother's exact birthday. That gave us goose pimples. It was so much happening, and I was telling them about how I was years ago, I was at a restaurant, and a
white man came in, and I had just told the Lord I was like the caller before, I'm depressed. I, Lord, what am I? What do you want to do with me? I just don't know no more. Lord, help me. Well, anyway, this white man never seen me in my life comes in, and he comes over, and I said, I know that man don't think I'm a prostitute. He's 70, and I'm old, you know. And he came over and sat by me, and I was telling him this story, and I gave him the date. And the lady said, the young girl said, well, that's my birthday. So the date that I was telling him that I think an angel showed up on me was the day of her birthday. It was just so much that was so weird. And I said, Lord, ain't nobody but you could do this kind of stuff. Okay, I was telling him how the angel said, I just wanted to tell you, you said, when I saw you walk in, that's a woman of God. And I'm thinking, how could that be? I was mad because I left my purse in a guy's car that I used to work for his mother, and he left me. And all I had was my little money on my chest, and I was upset. Mm-hmm. And he said, I said, what? That wasn't the day where I was feeling like I was of God. And he said, well, isn't that what you've been asking? And I had just said, Lord, please let me know if I'm going to right. Am I a child of God? Will I ever be that woman of God? And he said, well, isn't that what you've been asking, God? So then the guy that left me, he turned around and said, now that guy, he can be a mean, that Reed fella. I said, he sure is mean. He kind of cuckoo, too, you know. He HD or something going on with telling them that story. So then when they when we separated that Wednesday before I met him, they said all night they sat in the car with the dog, and that they kept talking about how all this was so strange. And they said, we noticed how that wine bottle was sitting up. How did it fall? I said, I'm going to tell y'all something. Somebody pulled that darn wine bottle out that bag, because that was too far in there for it to come out of the bag and go right straight on the floor and fall straight down. And even the lady, when they came to sweep, they couldn't understand. Like, we were looking at it. That wine is still in half of the bottle, and the top of it is off. Like, so I said, okay. But it was my sign. But, Carmen, I've been feeling so good ever since that. And I'm still in touch with him because I'm just waiting for him to get on the road. But the best thing in my life, Carmen, was when I went to that hotel, and all they had in their life was in the back of that car. And I saw that little dog, and they said, that dog don't take the people. That dog jumped in my arm like to say, thank you for helping me. And when I saw that dog run around, and they went in, then they called me and told me that they had left out and put their stuff up, and I bought them some hair care products and stuff I had in the house and some new clothes that I ain't never going to wear, like, you know, T-shirt. And all the T-shirts had pray, this, that, God, all had God or something about God. You know, it was weird. Well, anyway, they told me that somebody took all that brand new products, and I told them, look, they thought y'all left and threw them out. They kept them because they were brand new, because I hadn't used those hair care products, you know, for African-American hair. So way that people did, they gave them an extra night so they can rest after being in a shelter and sleeping in the car for about 2-3 weeks. So I said, that's God giving y'all the free. We don't care about no little hair care products. That's almost $200 room. You go on, that's the Lord. I'm glad they took the product so they disappeared, you know. But Carmen, it was just true. And sometimes when you're depressed, which I had been, God will send you something. And she was depressed, and I undepressed her, and that made me happy. And I forgot about whatever I'm going through. And I just feel that this was all to be. And I said, Lord, I don't know these two young girls in their 20s from Adam. They haven't seen their mother in a while. And they just had such a bond together, like they staying together. And I just had love for them. And they called me Mama T. And I'm like, it was like I've known them all my life. It was just weird. And it was like, I just feel so good, Carmen. And whatever money was going, whatever, I could care less about, because I would have went and bought something that don't mean nothing. But this meant something. And that was God saying, yeah, you've been spending on foolishness. Now I'm going to give you something that you really got to do. And I obeyed, Carmen, and I did what I thought. And I'm so happy.
God's the glory.
Yep, and I'm praying now that all these people you done prayed for, she done paid for, Lord, let her get well and on her feet tomorrow and get better, because you done did that for all of us. So you can't go in here and all our mess. We got to let it go in one ear and out the other, because sometimes it'll kind of stick around. So I want you to get well, So you can keep on keeping on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do it with pleasure. I love doing it. Yeah, I do it for the Lord. I mean, that's all we got here on
that's
earth
all
to do the things, you know, for him. Yeah, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters.
Exactly.
Is that we're his hands, his feet, his mouth, whatever he wants us to do. And
yes.
So, yes, you know, our bodies are fleeting, but, you know, what we minister, mm-hmm. that doesn't go away. That's something spiritual. That's worth more than anything. So thank
yes.
you. Yes, thank you. You know, yeah, continue praying for Prophet Randy and all the other ministers and everyone on PGN. We're a family.
Yeah.
We all go through when each of us goes through something. And so
mm-hmm.
that was very good. Thank you for sharing your
yeah.
testimony, what
you
went
what?
Through.
And you know what, too, Carmen, they said, I told them, I said, you all don't realize this is just a story for his glory. This is y'all test. And I said, but I got one thing to tell y'all got to do. I'm going to come back, and it ain't going to be pretty. I ain't going to have my makeup and stuff on. I'm going to be ugly. I said, you all got to tell it. You got to tell about these days when God did it. Don't say
exactly.
Tell it about what he did. Because remember, he put it in me to help you. Because if I have discernment,
yeah.
I could say, oh, no, they some scam. This ain't. Mm-mm. It was like it was meant so. He loved you so much that he made a stranger come and act
mm-hmm.
just like
mm-hmm.
people done. And I want to say this, Carmen, when you was talking about you do it all for him, I got something for all the single women and the men. I dare you to meet a new man or whoever people, you know, they looking to date a woman, gonna meet a man. And you tell them, I said, well, I just want to tell you right now you got a little competition. And they're going to look at you real funny and say, what are you talking about? This came to me one day the Lord gave me, and I don't have no boyfriend. Say, I said, you got a little competition. He going to say, oh, I do. Who is it? JC, Jesus. And, boy, they going to look at you real funny. That means, cause, honey, he going to be first, and you going to have to really come correct because I'm rolling with him. And if you can't deal
Amen.
With it, go now because it's over already. I dare you to do that. And if it's the man from God, he ain't going nowhere. He going to get right with you or the woman with the man.
That's right. Line up.
Yeah,
oh, get out.
I got some Carmen, but you're so right about
Lord.
That buffet, because I was in the store looking at fruit, and, you know, like I was at a buffet picking groceries. And oh, God bless your heart, Carmen. Bless you.
Well, God bless you, Teresa. That was awesome. Thank you for sharing that
All
tonight. That was good.
Yeah, and Carmen, one day have a topic where like what I think about you, all the stuff you used to talk about where in your life do you think an angel showed up that you didn't think was an angel, but looked like it could have cussed you out? Sometimes God will send people like, well, get out. They like you think they crazy, and then they turn around and be. Where do you think someone come and even if you turned around, like where did they go? Like that man when he left out, I said, oh, let me go out here. You know, it was almost time for this thrift store to open at 9. And I said, let me go out. I said, I probably see him. I went out, Carmen. He didn't go where the cars was. And I know he didn't go on this Ogden Avenue like in Downsbrook because they got no sidewalks. It's like grass. And I was going to cross the street and go to this Goodwill. He was nowhere to be found, and he had just kind of left out the door. And while we were sitting in there, I remember it was the day of the Bud Billiken parade that morning, and it was two men sitting at like a bar like at this McDonald's. They had some tall tables. And they kept looking over me like I was crazy. And he said, if they look over there at you, I'm going to go over there and ask them what's their problem. He a white man, and they were two old white men. And I'm like, oh, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? Like they kept looking. And I said, when you're in the presence of someone like that, everything he said didn't come to me. Like a week later it came to me. He said his
uh-huh.
friend got killed at a gas station in the 50s, and he got shot in the back of the head. And I'm like, well, what do you feel? How are you still here if you got shot? And then he told me I was getting ready to go to orientation. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going to make it because I'm kind of nervous with this agency. It ain't no good, and the people are crazy. He said, oh, you're going to be
uh-huh.
fine. He said, you're going to be fine, and you're supposed to be there because it's someone you're going to help. And I said, well, how am I going to help somebody? I'm going to get signed up for the program so I can work for my mother. And Carmen, just want to say this real quick. I went to this class for a week, and it was a hot mess. And it was a lady, she was messing with every. Now, we grown, and I'm in my 60s. She messing with grown folks. She and her, she told me when the deal went down, like she was 40-something. And she was getting in arguments with everybody. And I said, something going on with her. And I said, Lord, don't let her go here because it's going to be ugly. I'm going to turn it out. But I didn't think of nothing the man told me. And I remember having, I'm not Catholic, but I had someone say, take this rosary someone gave. I said, I got to hold this. And like it was like, Lord, don't let me go off because it's going to be. And I said, well, the last day she blurted out that everybody in here has been effing with her all week. And she'll get all, shoot all us MS. And the teacher had left out, like, to go do something. And so that's when she went off. So I went over to her, and everybody was nervous. And we grown folks got nervous. And I went over to her, and I said something was like to go over. And I was going to say something, but something like, you ever know God will take your word. He'll make you know what to say. Then he'll take. So I hugged her. And when she hugged me, I thought she was going to slap the mess out of me. Because I said, oh, no, Teresa said, like, oh, don't go. She's going to fight. She's going to be a. I got up. I said, I'm sick of this mess. I went over and hugged her. I said, come on with me. And I took in the bathroom to put her away from everyone else. And one lady looked at me and put her hands together like, we praying for you. So I went on in the bathroom and I talked to her. And when she hugged me, Carmen, I thought my back had broke because she hugged me so hard. And she broke down in there telling me that her husband was cheating on her, the kids do this and that. And then I think she looked at me like I had my makeup on, and I don't know if she thought like I was thought I was there. I said, girl, honey, I had to put all this together and throw it on, and you whatever I got, you can put on too. And I had some contact lenses, and I said, and you can have them too. And I said, but when I die, and she looked at my skin and her skin, I'm light-skinned and black. Well, I said, look, you think Jesus go ask me, oh, you this because you light? He don't give a darn about that. And I said, if you went home with me, you wouldn't believe. I'm alone. I ain't had no date, and God knows when. And she needed to know all because she had a preconceived idea about like somebody got swinging on chandeliers and going out to dinner and having. I had to break it down. And some say, just tell her the truth. And I told her. And she told me what she was going through. So two young girls in the class, both pregnant, came in there and said, Miss T, we come in there to help you because we didn't know what she was doing to you in there. When they come in, it's like the lady hugging me and we all together. And I said, Lord, and then didn't dawn. I get home, I said, that angel told me, that man. I didn't know he was I never said the word angel until like 2 weeks later. And my mother said, T, that man came in there with something else. And when I really sat down, Carmen, everything that man said, how did he know I had just recently that week said, Lord, you're going to have to show me these. But something going on. And I mean, nobody do they ever ask, you know, people will come to you and say, come and pray, my husband this, my man this and that and that. And they have they ever said, now, where, I want to know, Jesus, where do I stand right now with you? And I had a pastor used to say, you're the only one ever asked me, like, what's going on? What you want me to do? Usually we tell our problems, which I do second, but I want to know where I stand and where you taking me and what's going on now, Jesus. That's how I talk to them, you know. And that's what I just wanted to say. If you ever do that, because we'll think about it and say, uh-oh, something going on. And they kept calling me an angel. I said, nah, I ain't no earth angel. I said, but I do know y'all thought I was helping you. But you know what? When they get where they're going on the road tomorrow, I'm going to tell them. And I told them a little. But I said, first of all, I told them about, and Carmen, this is to say this on air, I had a secret spot where I was in a store, and I bought this dress. It's a white long dress. And like you say, watch what you say. But I was saying, who knows? I'm old now. Ain't nobody getting married. But it was like the average said, oh, you can get buried in it. So in my mind, the depression was so bad. I said, I'm going to put this dress, and I'm putting all this stuff together today. So what God did was I was about where I was like, at times, but I was getting better. I was ready to bear. I was happy about, like, Lord, I'm getting ready to get on. But the Lord gave me where I can't go now because I had to go tell someone else, you going to make it. But I had to get real with them because sometimes when you're down, you don't think nobody else is down. So usually you hold back like, oh, they see me with my makeup and lashes on. They think I'm happy. I had to, he'll make you come on out of that mess and tell them the truth. And when I knew I didn't hold back in telling them what was going on and had been going on, but I'm coming out, that's what got for me being real. And the Lord said, you got to tell them. And then sometimes he'll hold your words because he don't want the people to know. Then sometimes he'll make it where you tell it all. And when I got real and down to the earth, that's when it all unfolded. You can't go live. You got to tell them, I'm just like you, but I got a place, but you don't, but I'm down. So God made me see somebody who's going through even worse than you. So that's how that goes. But Carmen, thank you. I didn't talk to you, but I hope it helps somebody to know, you know, that just hold on a little longer, you know. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
God ain't showed up yet. And remember, he'll come through people that you at least expect. I'm in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Didn't think about nothing. And they think I saved them, and then I had to finally tell them, no, you saved me. They think they needed to help. They saved me, Carmen, from me giving up. And they wouldn't. That's what happened.
Isn't that good that God knows how to do
he
the blessings both ways?
Yes, yes. Isn't that something? That was the answer
only
to my
God.
Prayer. Yes.
Only
God.
Only God can do that.
So tell
yes.
us sometimes. Help someone else can help you. So that buffet, I'm ready to go get in line. And you will hear from me. Hey, you're going to hear from me in a mighty way when that happens, because I got a feeling it's coming. But he had to fine-tune me on some stuff, had to eliminate some people, because he knew I would have gave to here and did to there, but he had to show me, no, you can't do that. Got to show you who's who first, so you'll know what to do and how to do it. And I received everything you said was right on point, huh? That's why I called.
Yeah.
All right.
God bless you, girl.
Bless
and you continue
you,
to serve the Lord the way you're serving him.
All right. You, all right, now. Love you, Nan. And get better now,
love
Carmen.
You too.
Got work to do. All right, now. Bye-bye, now.
All right. Goodbye-bye. Bye. All right, everybody. There have been people going in and out. If anybody else needs ministry and prayer tonight, all right. Well, if nobody else needs prayer ministry tonight, I just pray that you have a wonderful week, that God blesses you and uses you mightily. And that was an awesome testimony from Teresa. We praise the Lord for that. So good night, everybody. You have a wonderful week and serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. All right. Amen. All right. God bless.